We live in a brave new world when it comes to infertility medicine, in vitro fertilization, embryo adoption, and assisted reproductive technology. What is the church to do? What comfort can we offer those suffering? LCMS Life Ministry and Concordia Seminary Life Team are sponsoring a free infertility ethics symposium for pastors, seminarians, commission ministers, and parish nurses, November 8th in St. Louis. Space is limited. LCMS.org/life.
Facebook is one of the biggest social media instruments for checking out what is going on with worldwide KFUO. On our Facebook page, facebook.com/KFUO radio, you'll see us posting pictures, online videos, show information, as well as reviews and previews of events at KFUO. Worldwide KFUO, we are where you are, on Facebook at facebook.com/KFUO radio. The worldwide leader of confessional Lutheranism, Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
This is By the Way. I have a dear friend who served during his career as a Navy chaplain. He was assigned to a submarine unit and spent a good portion of his life underwater. My friend talks about how calm and peaceful it can be under the sea. Even if a major storm is churning up the sea at its surface, even in the worst of storms, there are places deep in the sea where waters are not stirred. Don't you wish there was a place you could go to get away from the storms you face in life? Health issues, family issues, work issues, societal issues, financial issues, and so many more can become quite stormy. Our God in Jesus Christ does offer peace and calm. We can pray along with the psalm writer of the Old Testament, "O God, in you I will take refuge till the storms of destruction pass by." This is By the Way.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates, 7:30 Central Time. Joining me in studio this morning, Dr. Joel Leyenbauer, Executive Director of the LCMS Commission on Theology and Church Relations. Joel, welcome to His Time. Thanks so much for spending some time with us this morning.
It's great to be with you here, Andy.
Tell us about the history of the Commission on Theology and Church Relations.
Yeah, the CTCR, the Commission on Theology and Church Relations, was created by the Synod a little over 50 years ago. It goes back to a Synod convention in 1962. And the Church, I think, just felt at that time that it would be helpful to have a group of people coming together representing different constituencies in the Church, the seminary, the two seminaries of our Church, some of the leadership of our Church, parish pastors, lay people, commission ministers, come together to wrestle with theological issues that were before the Church and to try to provide some guidance to the Church that would help bring the Church together, frankly. If you look at that resolution that created the CTCR, it was really about theological unity in the Church and helping us to walk together as a synod. And hopefully the CTCR has at least largely served that purpose over the 50 or so years of its existence. Not everybody necessarily always finds every single thing that the commission has said helpful, but I think most people that I talk to look back and say, it's been kind of helpful to have the commission provide documents and resources, even sponsor some conferences that help bring people together on some sometimes sensitive issues.
Some very important and sensitive issues. You get to deal with all the fun stuff, all the topics that that we have questions about as a church. You get to the commission gets to do the research and spend some of them. It looks like an extensive amount of time doing research and investigating on various topics.
Yeah, I did. I think I can joke about this a little bit, but if there's one criticism that I hear, from time to time of the commission, it takes you guys a long time to to do these documents. We kind of want an answer tomorrow. We're in that kind of culture right now.
Sure.
Ask a question, get an answer. And one of my responses is, if you'd ask us a simple question, is there a God? We could give you an answer pretty quickly. But the questions we get are not typically simple questions. They're questions that are a little more complex and take a little more time to answer. Questions like, you know, let's say cloning, just to throw one out, or,
sure,
you know, end-of-life issues or complex beginning-of-life issues or issues outside our church or within our church, let's say on issues like human sexuality or the service of women in the church or church fellowship issues. You know, those require some kind of measured, first of all, some you know, extensive research into what the scriptures and the Lutheran confessions say, and then some measured responses that help kind of say, well, on the one hand, perhaps, and on the other hand, you know. Plus, we have a commission made up of 20 pretty smart, strong-minded people, and if you're going to get a document that is basically approved, you know, hopefully by all of those people, you know, that's not necessarily an easy process. It's not a committee of three, you know, it's a committee of 20 representing quite, really, in some ways, I think almost every sort of point of view often that's out there in the church. And so we have to kind of work through those and hear what everybody has to say and finally, hopefully bring something forward that everybody says, yeah, I think that kind of captures it, and then present it to the church. And even then, the church has to take some time to study through it and talk through it before they maybe are sure that it's helpful or not.
Yeah. And these are quite often topics of theology or ethics, all, as you mentioned, sometimes very sensitive topics. And now you mentioned that the commission is made up of 20 people from across the synod, all kinds of different backgrounds. How often does this, do you meet in person, or are things done electronically today? How do you go about researching and then discussing and reviewing these documents?
Right. It's a good question. The commission as a whole comes together typically face-to-face four times a year, all 20 of these individuals who are elected or appointed to the commission. And that's really when the real work as a commission happens. Now, of course, a lot goes on in between those meetings, and so we have a staff here in the building. I've served on the staff of the CTCR for almost 25 years here. We have two full-time executive staff right now and a part-time research assistant. Sometimes we do a lot of the grunt work that gets ready for the meetings and present some research to the members of the commission, who then break into their own little committees and work through this. Probably more often, though, we select drafters, sometimes from within the commission when that expertise exists, you know, on the commission itself. But oftentimes, especially with some of these ethical issues, biomedical issues, we don't always have experts on the commission in those areas. So we will find someone to do this work for us. And so drafters will come into our meetings and we'll sit down with them and go through documents that they're preparing and really work through them, you know, lock ourselves in a room with rubber
plenty
walls
of coffee.
Right. And just say, let's have at it. And, you know, there's always a little bit of, you know, adventure when a draft comes forward, because you don't know for sure, is this really what we were hoping for, expecting, or isn't it? So, you know, that's another thing that will determine sometimes how long an assignment takes. If you get a really good first draft, you know, kind of know right away, hey, this has some promise. We just have to kind of hone it. Other times, you know, maybe that isn't quite what we were hoping for and expecting, and then, you know, that might be a little more circuitous route, you know, to getting to where you're going. So,
of the number of topics that you've researched and studied and discussed, which one has been most surprising? That you found information that you really didn't expect. You found it to really go in a different direction than you expected altogether.
Boy, that's a great question. I can think of probably any number of examples of things like that. I'll answer it in a little different way than maybe you expected, because we have an assignment on our agenda right now that I really didn't think that maybe we were going to be able to really tackle and complete. It's an assignment on the relationship between science and theology. Which, you know, if people have been watching the latest Cosmos series or things like that, I mean, I just felt like, can we even handle this? You know, that's a huge topic. It's filled with difficulties and landmines, but still quite critical. And we are close to finishing, I think, a document on science and theology that I really believe is going to be one of the more helpful documents that we've ever produced. We're not done with it yet, and we're, you know, we've got some work to do. I think it's going to be helpful to young people going away to college who encounter philosophies and, you know, presuppositions in this whole area that they really don't know how to think through and work through and respond to. And so, I've been surprised, frankly, that we, you know, it looks like we're going to get this document done.
That was the big surprise for you.
And I think when it does get out there, people are going to say, wow, you know, this is really a helpful document. So that's, you know, I'll put that one out there so people can anticipate it rather than run to their website now and say, oh, that's that document he was talking about. Hang in there because this one is coming. And I think it's going to be helpful.
Yeah. It sounds to me like that, what you described there is kind of the epitome of what the commission is about, is by doing the research and preparing the information so that it could be presented to the church, including the laity, to be used in a very practical way. You mentioned, you know, the student going off to college and all the philosophies, all the worldviews that they'll encounter in college. Something like this, a piece like this, would be helpful to them, a very practical tool for them when going into that environment.
And we really do work toward that on the commission, even though most of our members are, let's say, quote unquote, theologians. Mm-hmm. You know, almost all of our documents are written with laity in mind. I mean, we try to produce documents that aren't just helpful to people who have gone through the seminary or something and are familiar with all kinds of technical language. But we want these things to be useful to the whole church. And I've been really heartened as I've gone around the church over the years and run into people. It's not like we get flooded with letters of appreciation up there. You know, so they say, oh, my goodness, you know, who's going to open all the letters we received today? But as I go out in the church, I discover people actually, many people at least, do use our documents. They read them. They're aware of them. They're familiar with them. And they have found them helpful in just helping them sort through any number of theological issues that you know, are very important in today's world and meaningful for them personally.
I know I've used them, especially throughout my formation as a director of Christian education, throughout my training and studies and in preparation for that. It was very helpful and along the path. But even today, still, in my service here and in the parish as well, it's certainly useful. How do you get your assignments? How do the topics that you address, how do they come to be? You know, how do they end up on your plate?
Right. The primary way that we get our assignments is from the synod itself in convention. Mm-hmm. I think the synod meets in convention every 3 years. Any number of resolutions come before the church on theological issues. And oftentimes, if a resolution brought to the synod convention has to do with a somewhat controversial theological issue, it will be referred to the CTCR for study and to prepare some kind of a response, usually a document. So most of our assignments still come from the Synod and Convention. And then when that happens, we typically, when we finish the assignment, we return it to the Synod and Convention. And over the years, that has typically been through a printed document, usually a document printed by CPH that's literally sent out to every pastor, church worker, and congregation in the Synod. We've wrestled with that in recent years because technology makes it so easy to put a document out there in electronic form, and we've done that. I mean, we always do that these days, too. It goes on the website, so if you go to the Synod's website and then to the CTCR's website off of the Synod's website, you'll find, you know, 100 documents that we've produced over the years that are at a click, you know, ready for you to do whatever you want with, read, print out. But we still kind of have stuck kind of old-fashioned in terms of, you know, sending those things out to people so that they have them in their hand. A pastor has them, you know, on his shelf somewhere. He may not, you know, every single day need to check something on an issue like admission of the Lord's Supper, but it's there, you know, as a reference. So.
And it's nice to, I had a shelf of those when I was a full-time parish DCE, just had a shelf full of all those reports. And it was nice to have that library to go to when you have a question to, and you want to do some research, some study on a particular topic. It certainly is nice. Yeah. So every 3 years, you get your big homework assignment. Yeah. So you walk away with your stack of assignments and then go work on them for a while.
But more and more these days, that's changing a little bit, too, because you know, the way things are changing in our world and culture today, we can't always wait 3 years for the synod, you know, to kind of realize, oh, you know, we might need to talk about that. Mm-hmm. More and more, we are putting assignments on our own agenda, and we have the freedom to do that. You know, I think it's kind of nice to get assignments from the church, sure, so that we're not just running around as sort of a renegade little group deciding, you know, what we want to study.
Yeah.
But the church has entrusted us with the responsibility of giving theological guidance. And I think it's, there are times we feel, you know, this issue is cropped up, you know, in the last year. Lots of people are asking about it. We're getting calls about it. I'm hearing from pastors that I need some guidance in this area, district presidents. And so we're increasingly kind of taking it upon ourselves to say, okay, you know, this is out there. We need to give some attention to it. An issue like, you know, in the area of marriage or changing cultural views on some ethical issue. And it's possible. You can't always just simply assume that the Synod and Convention is going to address this issue, you know. And so we've been kind of stepping out there a little more than we used to and saying, here's an issue that we think the church would benefit from having some guidance about. Yeah.
When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the work of the CTCR and the upcoming conference. We need to take a quick break,
right,
and we'll continue that conversation. Stick around for more as we're talking with Dr. Joel Lambauer, Executive Director of the LCMS Commission on Theology and Church Relations, right here on His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
You used to change my diapers.
Take care of me 24 hours a day.
Send me to school.
Mom.
Dad, I need you.
There's all these things I'm feeling that I've never felt before.
I need to know about having a boyfriend.
I need you to set limits.
I need you to tell me where you stand.
Help me make the right choices.
Mom, Dad, talk with me. You always say I can talk to you about anything.
A message from the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services.
As we age, our needs change, but there's no one-size-fits-all solution. That's why Lutheran Senior Services offers everything from low-income housing to senior living communities that provide all levels of care, to in-home services, to hospice. Our mission of older adults living life to the fullest comes from John 10, verse 10, where Jesus says he came so that we might live life in abundance, now and into eternity. Improving the lives of seniors wherever they call home. LSSLiving.org.
Finding just the right partner is a blessing when it comes to achieving God's plans. Hi, I'm Rich Robertson, President and CEO of the Lutheran Church Extension Fund. Before taking this position, I worked with LCEF in my home congregation. It was a joy to find a true Lutheran partner that understood our unique needs as we built a school and welcomed new families into our church and community. I hope you experience that joy too. Visit lcef.org to find out how your ministry can become empowered in its kingdom work.
Jesus and the Bible exhorts us to agreement in all biblical teachings. I'm Rod Zwanitzer, one of the four hosts of Concord Matters, a show with that worthy goal, Concord, inviting you to join us Saturday mornings at 10 and repeated Tuesdays at 2 p.m., as well as 24/7 on demand.
Listen to Concord Matters on the Messenger of Good News, KFUO.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. We are talking today with Dr. Joel Lambauer, Executive Director of the LCMS Commission on Theology and Church Relations. And before we went to break, Dr. Lambauer, we were talking about the work of the CTCR and how you get your assignments, how you go about studying and preparing. And one question that came to mind is, over time, you mentioned that the CTCR has been around for 50 years now, is that right?
Right, a little over 50 years, yeah. Mm-hmm.
How we do research has changed a little bit over that time. Now, today, you know, with the advent of the internet and all the resources available on the internet, does that impact and just information available electronically in general, does that impact, does that improve how you go about your work, maybe the time frame in which something can be completed?
You know, in some ways, actually, Andy, I think it complicates our work, really, because from the standpoint Obviously, anyone doing research on any issue, you know, any pastor writing a sermon or any student writing a document, I mean, it's really amazing, mm-hmm. you know, that you can get to information a lot more quickly. It's a little dangerous because you do have to make sure that the information is mm-hmm. verifiable. A lot of our more recent documents do quote, let's say, cite in footnotes, you know, an online source or something. That's a little tricky, though, too, because I think some of that is still being worked out in academic circles, but some of those footnotes don't exist anymore. You mm-hmm. know, the websites expire. You know, we've had some questions about that. So the reason, though, I think it's a little bit tricky is because there is this sense, because of all this information that's out there these days, that lots of people are experts on things. You know, I mean, they've read on the internet. They've mm-hmm. studied. They know what's going on. And it kind of presents a little more challenge, I think, to if you're going to produce a piece that is really carefully researched, carefully done, that you realize that people on some level know a lot more than they used to, you know, about these things, and so already have opinions mm-hmm. about it. But maybe they don't know as much as they think they know, you know. And so you kind of are in a position of being able to and being challenged to present an argument that is compelling and well-grounded, that addresses people's perceptions that may not be totally grounded in reality or scripture or mm-hmm. the confessions to the extent that they think they are. So
this is kind of the double-edged sword of the electronic age.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Having information so readily accessible, mm-hmm. Making sure that it's all good information.
Yeah, exactly.
That we are appropriately informed, and that's really what the CTCR is about, is making sure that we have good information that we have well researched information. Mm-hmm. Well, a conference coming up soon, the International Conference on Confessional Leadership in the 21st Century. Tell us about this.
Yeah. This is kind of a exciting continuing venture of the commission. We had, when was it? Back in 2010, I guess, we had a somewhat small conference, 20, 25 leaders from around the world that we brought together at the seminary in Fort Wayne in conjunction with a couple other conferences that were going on. It was the beginning of the time when we were sensing that something was going on in global Lutheranism that was somewhat new and different. Some of it had to do with, the Berlin Wall coming down, you know, churches kind of coming out of the woodwork that we didn't know were there or mm-hmm. we weren't sure were there. Just some of the communication that was happening around the world and a breakdown, I think, of some of the more confessional Lutheran theology that we kind of could depend on, that there were churches that, you know, despite disagreements, well, we all had a common understanding, sort of the authority of Scripture and what the gospel was and what it meant to adhere to the confessions. We started hearing from churches around the world that they were looking for kind of new partners, in a way, new churches that they could ally themselves with, support, you know, not just financial support, but theological mm-hmm. support. And so requests started to come in. And so in 2010, we had this small conference and realized we could have this expanded. There are a lot of other churches out there that would appreciate, you know, just getting together, getting to know each other a little bit better, getting to know us. And so in 2012, we had a conference in Atlanta where we brought together 135. So we went from wow. 20 or 25 to 135 Lutheran leaders from around the world. And it was an exciting conference. And almost everybody at that conference said, you know, we need to do this again. And so we're doing it again. And this time, we're doing it in 2015, in May of 2015, and we're holding it in Wittenberg, Germany. And that's kind of cool because if people mm-hmm. out there kind of are aware of historical stuff in the Lutheran Church, they know that in 2017, we'll be celebrating a big, huge anniversary, an anniversary of the Reformation. It dates back to 1517 and Martin Luther's you know, posting those theses in Wittenberg, at least, you know, in terms of the story, nailing them to the door of the castle church there. And so to come together in that place in Wittenberg to bring together, again, over 100 Lutheran leaders from around the world to talk about what the Reformation means, what's significant about the Reformation in our day and age, and also then to do it in conjunction with dedicating at least one building there in Wittenberg, this part of the Wittenberg project that you probably talked about on this show. There's just it's going to be an exciting time, you know.
It sounds like there's a danger of a cosmic shift putting all these confessional Lutherans together in Wittenberg.
Yeah, right.
Dangerous.
May have part of the continent break off there, and who knows what could happen. Yeah.
So what types of things will be addressed then in this conference? What will the discussions look like? What are the things that, I know it's not until 2015, but.
Right. Yeah, we're pretty well underway with the planning. You know, it's a logistics get complicated with a conference like this, especially when people from all over the world are involved. The theme is celebrating the Reformation rightly, and then three sub-themes: remembering, repenting, and rejoicing. And so we're going to do some remembering as we think about the Reformation. You know, we're not ashamed of the Reformation. You get the idea sometimes these days in some Lutheran circles, well, you know, we're kind of got to live with that history, but we're all about, you know, ecumenism these days, and there's something a little unecumenical about the Reformation, you know, the story where we have someone breaking away from the church, not joining together with other Lutherans. Now, we too are, you know, are interested in church relations and in coming together with other churches, celebrating what we have in common and discussing what we don't and trying to break down those barriers. But we're you know, in a humble way, I think rightly, proud of what God did, you know, through Martin Luther in at the time of the Reformation. So we're going to do some time remembering that, and yet repenting too, because we're all sinners and we know that. And even, you know, the way that the Reformation has been carried forward through the years, we all know we have plenty of sins to confess there too, whether it isn't being bold enough about sharing that gospel, whether it's being bold in wrong ways, you know, whether it's, you know, forgetting our roots and our heritage and not doing enough with the blessings God has given us, not being fervent enough in study and zealous enough in mission. So we're going to spend some time in repentance too, but then rejoicing to look at some of the great things that despite us and our sins, God is doing around the world and in some surprising places around the world. I think people listen to this program, you know, are attuned enough to what's going on around the world to know that, you know, where Lutheranism is really exploding these days, and Christianity really, is in places like Africa, in places like South America, in places like Asia, and maybe not in places like Europe or even America. That's a little bit maybe troubling to some of us, or scary or confusing, but let's talk to people who are seeing that happen and find out, you know, wow, what is God doing there? How can we even learn from it, benefit from it? It's not just us going over to these countries and helping them. There are many ways that Christians there can be great witnesses to us and can help us understand how we can recover our sense of mission and faithfulness to God's word.
It's nice to be able to come together and say amen where we can say amen.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, to come together with our brothers and sisters in Christ. With just about a minute left, anything else about the conference, about the CTCR you'd like to share with our listeners as we wrap up our time this morning?
Yeah, I would just say, you're listening out there, when I talk about this conference, people say, well, where can I get a ticket or how can I go? You know, this is a kind of a by invitation only, unfortunately. There's only so many people we can bring to Germany for this. But I sincerely would ask that you keep the conference in mind, keep us in your prayers. There's going to be a lot of pretty important discussions that happen there that may determine future relationships and even impact the future mission of our church. And as far as the CTCR itself is concerned, if you're not aware of our website, the resources that we have available there, I would really encourage you to take a look at those, www.lcms.org/CTCR. There are all kinds of documents there that I think you'd find useful, including smaller documents mm-hmm. that go into things like evaluating movements, religious movements and organizations, lodges that are out there, some of the cults that exist, and we have short evaluations that I think people would find helpful as they encounter these views out there in the world and just not quite sure how to evaluate them from a Lutheran point of view.
We've been talking with Dr. Joel Leyenbauer, Executive Director of the LCMS Commission on Theology and Church Relations. Dr. Leyenbauer, thanks for being our guest this morning on His Time.
My pleasure. Thank you.